So you introduced or you mentioned the topic of CAR T cell therapy, and I wanted to just sort of get your global take on where we are today with CAR T in B cell lymphoma. You have a patient, actually, I think you got treated with it, right?
Yes, yeah, this is a really fascinating guy.
Why don't we talk about him as a way to sort of get into that, because I'm trying to sort out all the things I'm hearing nowadays.
Yeah, so he's a delightful, he's almost 60, and he presented in 2011 with DLBCL. He had concurrent DLBCL and follicular, so transformed, got R-CHOP, relapsed soon thereafter, got ICE, got an auto, relapsed again, went on a CDK4 study, did not respond, went on GemOx, I believe, and had a number of cycles of GemOx and progressed, got a cycle of RDHAP, did not respond. And when I met him, he was quite symptomatic. He had bulky disease in the chest, axilla, inguinal region. And he was our first CAR T cell patient. And he actually had this large node in the chest that became necrotic because it disappeared so quickly and he developed a fistula with his esophagus, so we had to keep him NPO. But he did fine, and he's recovered from that, and he's now a year out and remains in complete remission.
So he had this huge node that necrosed?
Yeah, it was right adjacent to, it was sort of a subcarinal node, and it just became necrotic, wow. And then he...
What about the more typical CAR-T problems? Did he have those?
Yes, so he had cytokine release, he got tocilizumab, he didn't end up going to the ICU, and then he did have, you know, some significant neurotoxicity, but not grade 4. So overall, I mean, I think this is a very exciting modality, but I think we really need to be looking at what are the durable responses. Because I think, you know, you look at the responses at the end of treatment and then at 4 weeks, but then there's this big drop off between a month and 3 months. So I think what we really need to be looking at is, are these durable and what can we do to, there are now trials adding checkpoint inhibitors to CAR T cells to try to amp up the T cell attack. So I think that's very appealing. And I think we also need to be cautious about trying to figure out how to mitigate the CNS toxicity and try to understand that better because, you know, the deaths that have been seen not in lymphoma but in other diseases have been brain edema, just total disasters. And, you know, you don't really want to give steroids because you worry that you're going to wipe out your CAR Ts. So,
again, you said a whole bunch of things that were really interesting. I'm just trying to contemplate the biology of giving CAR T and a checkpoint inhibitor together.
Yeah. So then you would hopefully enhance your CD8 positive T cells in addition to your CARs and hopefully get a better immune.
What about the effect on, you know, in terms of the CAR T cell therapy itself? Do you think the checkpoint, for example, in terms of cytokine release or this neurotoxicity, any connection?
Hard to know. I mean, the study that is just opening, it's actually a PD-L1, not a PD-1, so it would be tumor cell directed. So maybe that will be less likely to cause interference with the CAR Ts that you've manufactured.
PD-L1 hits the ligand, though.
Right, on the tumor cell. So hoping that you would, in turn, like, engage some additional T cells, I suppose.
Looking again, just across the board at B cell cancers, what's been seen in terms of efficacy with CAR T cell therapy?
So it's quite variable depending on, you know, I think for DLBCL, it all comers in the Kite study, it's about 40% long term. With primary mediastinal and transformed follicular, it's higher. So it's more like 60%. My guy's transformed follicular. The follicular, the early data in follicular looks really good, but I think it's been too few patients. And I think it's probably a very attractive disease in which to study CAR T because you don't have rapidly progressive disease and you may have more time to get, you know, a disease response. I think mantle cell is another disease that I think is very interesting. Not a lot of data yet.
And can you talk more about the toxicities that have been seen, the deaths that have been seen, and which compound and what's going on?
So the deaths were in ALL patients predominantly, and we have a different construct, but there's something different about ALL, you know, and I think in one of the studies where there were deaths, they had used cyclophosphamide conditioning and then decided to add in fludarabine in addition. And I think it was when they added the fludarabine that they saw the toxicity. And is that because the fludarabine's getting in there? Is it because these patients had had prior CNS-directed therapy or have tumor cells in the CNS? You know, I think some of those patients had no evidence of disease in the CNS at the time they got treated. So I don't think it's completely well sorted out, but it's really awful to see these young, you know, particularly in ALL where you have these young adults who are, you know, to have a treatment-related death is just devastating. So I think we really have got to understand better the biology of what's going on in the CNS.
Are the trials being halted at this point?
Yes, those studies were halted. Yeah, the Kite studies, I think, have gone forward. They have a different, they have CD28 as a co-stimulatory molecule, and I think the other was 4-1BB. So there are differences between the CAR T cells, but I think we just, what's going on in the CNS is just poorly understood. And I think when you see these patients have the neurotoxicity, it is really profound. And you've got these older patients who are catatonic or completely delirious. It's rather frightening. And the cytokine release, I think with the tocilizumab, that seems to be extremely helpful. So I think I like this notion of giving it sort of prophylactically to prevent the CRS, and it doesn't, I don't think there's any evidence that it lessens the efficacy of the CAR T.
That's interesting, preventively. Yeah. I haven't heard that before. What about so-called off-the-shelf CAR T?
So, you know, I think they've been doing some of the off-the-shelf, you know, I know the cytotoxic T-cell therapies directed at EBV lymphomas and PTLD. I don't know a lot about the off-the-shelf CAR T, but I think that is very interesting and more broadly applicable because I think right now our major issue is to find slots for our patients. We have plenty of patients who would be potentially eligible for CAR T, but it's just difficult to, because the studies enroll, you know, sort of one patient at a center at a time so that we can keep a very close eye on the toxicity. It's just the demand for slots way outstrips the number of slots that are available. So if there were a off the shelf, I haven't seen any of those studies yet.
Anything else in terms of your general interest, research that you're involved with, clinical topics of importance that we haven't covered?
So we're doing this really interesting study. I don't know whether it's going to pan out or not, but based on some work done in the lab by collaborator at MIT, Mike Heeman and David Weinstock, who's at the Farber, looking at double-hit lymphoma. So they've made this, Mike has made using human stem cells a double-hit lymphoma model and was testing different compounds, including alemtuzumab and cyclophosphamide. And when you combine those two, you get this, the high-dose cyclophosphamide activates macrophages. And when you combine it with alemtuzumab, and these lymphomas are usually CD52 positive, they got like dramatic synergy, which was recapitulated in David's mouse models of double-hit lymphoma. So we are doing a phase one study of alemtuzumab and cyclophosphamide in patients with relapsed double-hit or CD52 positive double protein expressors. And we're kind of excited just as a proof of principle to see whether we can enhance macrophage function, because we clearly need something better in that disease. And I think we should be hopefully getting that open in the not too distant future.
I think I saw that you're involved in a trial in Burkitt's. What are you doing there?
We had been participating in the NCI Burkitt trial, but, you know, I think that one's nearly accrued. And I think our EPOC is good for patients with lower risk Burkitt's, but I just worry about lack of CNS-directed therapy in patients who have higher risk disease. Though it's tolerable, and certainly for an elderly patient, I think our EPOC is a great option.